listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 11th. I apologize for having a little technical difficulty with the system there. But glad to be here. Joining me, of course, my name is Michael Kelly, but I think you know that. Joining me is Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here as always.
Glad to have you. Thank you to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight's topic is personal evolution, personal growth. And I think this is a wonderful topic because it has so many avenues to go down.
Well, it came in light of our graduation last Saturday, and, you know, really glad so many graduates could be there. We had a great time, a lot of good names. It was, you know, at that time of year again, Michael, where we acknowledge people, and that's all part of the evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's inspiring, you know, in much the same way that, you know, experiencing something with somebody else, even if you've already experienced it, helps you relive it. It helps you, you know, it's just like watching a movie that you love with a friend who's never seen it. You get to kind of relive the experience again. You get that little jolt of you know, the newness, of the joy of it. And I'd say that there's something akin to that in the joy of participating in the graduation. And, you know, I say I thank you for letting me be part of it, although I don't think anybody really took a vote on it. But I just enjoyed being able to share that experience with people, and that, you know, it gives you the enthusiasm. It was palpable, and it just kind of helps invigorate you. And one of the things which I, you know, haphazardly said during the graduation was in that these celebrations and these things are the fuel for hope and the fuel for life and things like that. And so it was for me too. So thank you very much for me being part of that and joining with you. And yeah, it was a great time. And it led to this wonderful idea from you, Dr. Vicki, in that we can talk about this wonderful path of our own growth and personal evolution.
Well, one thing I want to do, to be really clear, I looked up the word evolution to find the definition, and the process by which different kinds of living organisms are thought to have developed and diversified from earlier forms during the history of Earth. Okay, that's the macro. And then the micro, the gradual development of something, especially from a simple to a more complex form. And so you think about, and part of it for me before the graduation was marks of time. And I know I was having little moments of how time is both going backward and forward simultaneously. And, yeah, and that's kind of, 'cause it's in our consciousness, in our thoughts, and you know, you look at these marks of time and you're going back, you know, and then you're also working toward things, gaining a sense of purpose and going forward. And so it's really, it was kind of a moment that I had. But looking at one's life to see overall these points in time that mark our life and the journey and how far we've come. Now, only us as individuals know how far we've come.
Yeah.
Based on our inner thoughts, you know, and behaviors. So, I mean, that's, look, there's no question. You're different when you're 15 to 25 versus 45, 65 and on. There's no doubt life, you know, rolls with it. But these marks of time, I think, is different for everyone. You could have an event at the age of 18. You can have an event at the age of 33. You know, these events that we even remember, like sometimes even the smell of.
Oh, yes. I mean, smell is an incredible trigger for memory.
And so you can say to yourself, oh, I remember that. Wow, that was a long time ago, or it feels like yesterday. But that's a mark of time. And that's how I believe we gauge our own evolution. You know, I hope that each of us feels like we're spiritually evolving or personally evolving to become better human beings. And I had a talk with a friend not long ago to say that what I had to learn in my life is that not everybody thinks that way. Because I would, when I was younger, believe everybody wanted to evolve as a human being and grow. And that's not the case.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, another thing is, I think, another problem with the idea of evolution in terms of human society as opposed to the personal level is people define evolution differently. So we are all on our own personal journey of evolution, and that's tailored to us, to our experiences, to our soul, to our being. But to somebody else, you know, they might not see it as evolution in the way they would go. And furthermore, they are probably on an unconscious level, or maybe even a conscious level, maintaining a old viewpoint that's, you know, out of date, or they're not evolving because of the secondary gains, the benefits they get from not evolving. And if you have an incentive in not changing your lifestyle and not evolving on a spiritual or intellectual level, you're probably not, well, I'm not going to say you're probably not going to, because it's all based on the individual, but you're more likely not going to.
Well, I for me, it's also not just the human evolution. It really is about a spiritual evolution, Michael. Mm-hmm. And yet the more I feel spiritually intact, the more human I become. And that's another kind of a warp. You know, we talk about paradoxes. We talk about, you know, conundrums, because I realize this, you know, the body has its experiences and, you know, age and so on. So spiritually evolving, but there's, getting older is a full-time job, Michael, honestly. It's taking care of your body, looking after health. It's a full-time job.
Well, I mean, aging is taking up most of my time, so, you know. Every single day, I spend all day getting older, I'm telling you.
It's true, though. And so it's, there's an irony to that, anyway, that I say spiritually evolving and remembering who I am as a spiritual being, and yet at the same time, it doesn't matter anymore who I am as a spiritual being, because it only matters how and who I am as a human being, and what's, again, you know, the dynamic in relationships, and have I evolved in having relationships? Have I evolved in my communication skills? Have I evolved in, you know, how I interact with the world? Have I evolved with patience and tolerance? And, you know, how have I grown? And I guess that's where we use that word evolution.
Yeah.
It's growing from, let's say, being short-tempered to, oh, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. You know, kind of thing.
And, you know, there are just, Let me say it this way. The internet abounds with jokes about, you know, like, people, when you get into your 30s and 40s and on, you start getting these, you know, pains that come out of nowhere. Like, you know, the jokes go around, my back is killing me. Why? Oh, I think I put my shirt on wrong or something like that, right? And so as we age, we get these little physical nicks and knocks that kind of pile on, right? Just from wear and tear of life. The same is kind of true when it comes to our psyche, our spirit, our, you know, soul moving forward, you know, our behaviors. And evolution is not always a one-way street, you know. Well, let's just put it this way. Evolution is not a constant. There is de-evolution, or devolution, if you will, that also occurs at times. And, you know, there are times where, you know, life knocks you around. It can make you jaded. It can make you closed off. It can make you do, you know, feel and act in a lot of ways, or, you know, I shouldn't say make you, because we all have free will, but it is just one of those things. I would also say this, and let's tie some pop culture into it. If your life were a drama or a show or a story, and you start at the beginning of your adulthood and got to the end, don't you want to be able to show some character growth? Don't you want to show in the development of your, you know, your spirit, of your level of awareness, and on a multi-level basis? You know, I think that a holistic approach to these things is the key. That it's not just, you know, spirituality. It's not just intellectualism. It's not just knowledge. It's not just any of these things. It's everything combined. It's just like the human soul is our, you know, all of our parts, our brain, our nervous system, our body, the, you know, instinct that we're born with, but also our awareness. It's us being more than the sum of our parts. And all of those different things come together in our personal evolution to make the whole human being. You know, you can't ignore any one of the areas. Balance comes into play. And, you know, I love to harp on the importance of balance. You know, I think I try to bring it up, you know, darn near every time we have a broadcast. It's critical to balance these areas of evolution in different parts of your life, because spiritual evolution leads to intellectual evolution, which leads to, you know, cultural evolution on a wider scale. Even your own personal cultural evolution in many ways, of experiencing different types of culture, maybe a different, expanding your awareness to different ideas and different perspectives, is part of personal evolution. But,
you know, Dr. Zach is saying in the chat, the older he gets, the less patience he has for people.
Oh,
you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I can relate. I think I've said it on the program before, but as I was younger, I had more patience, less tolerance. Then I had no patience, more tolerance, you know, or vice versa. And, you know, then it gets to the point where I have a lot of patience and zero tolerance. And now I just have tolerance and patience. And part of me wonders if that's not becoming indifferent. And because, you know, you just kind of shrug it off. I mean, I do. I glean through the news, for example, and I say, oh, that's time going backward.
I know. And it's infuriating.
And that's where I say sometimes where evolution is time moving forward in a progression, but backward at the same time. And it kind of confuses me because, you know, time, again, we're going to get cliche, it's a human construct, but we do go through these seasons in a year, seasons of life, and the Earth has its own evolutionary process. And so when I think of how we are as a society, and that, again, that macrocosm of, oh, we made all this progress, but, oh, man, we just, you know, skip back 50 years over there. And yet I look at places, for instance, like Afghanistan, and, you know, women have to be completely covered up. And in the 70s, they were all hip happening, women going to universities and very westernized. And I go, wow. Yeah, do you see how much?
Well, you stick around long enough. Go, I'm sorry.
Progress is relative to who's running the show.
That's very true. I was going to say, and you stick around long enough, you'll see things change in every quadrant of the planet. I mean,
yeah.
1,000 years ago, the Islamic world was the center of, you know, science, knowledge, and, you know, far more tolerant than the Christian world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, places like the East were renowned with, you know, more advanced medicine and things like that at the time. And it's, I just, you know, think of that, you know, in the sense of, you know, like places like Afghanistan. Yeah. Things are not, have not always been the way they are now. Things do, are not on a constant track towards, you know, improvement. It is sometimes we take two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes we take one step forward and two steps back. But it is, over the long arc of history, clear that we have had a social evolution. And that social evolution only comes from personal evolution and growth.
Exactly. I totally agree.
But
now, and hopefully there are people who are in positions who can, you know, wake up to that at some point. And I know a lot of people feel trapped in their limited realities, feeling, well, I don't have any power, I don't have this. But as we all know, one individual can make a big difference. And I think in westernized society, anyway, I think we're long overdue for a couple of folks to step up, you know, as we've had heroes in the past. And I'm sorry, it can't be me.
So, you know, let me throw this at you. I mean, we're talking about personal evolution, but, you know, it kind of leads into societal evolution. I've been toying with an idea, and it's not my own, but it kind of came to me, and I found it out there. And it's, you know, the idea that... that it's not, history is not as much about, you know, key individuals at certain moments as it is about populations, you know, about the individuals, you know, for both good and bad. The only reason a person like Hitler existed is because there was a structure for him to exist in, that there was a movement to be led. And let me also say that, well, Hitler was obviously a man of immense evil. He is not alone, and it's not really that much of an aberration either. And I say that not to denigrate humanity, but just to say that it is one of those things of constant vigilance, that everybody thinks they're on the side of right in their own mind, but we have to try to be aware of those. It's part of our personal evolution, aware of, you know, ethics and morality in an objective sense, and the natural rights of all creatures of awareness. So,
well, I think the hardest thing for any of us is fighting what we want to believe versus what's actual.
Right.
And when we look at not just what somebody says, but their behaviors, you look at their history as well as in today. Could somebody have had a great epiphany, become changed? Absolutely, of course. But, for instance, politicians or, you know, political histories, and this is where I feel like a lot of people, and often myself included, we have short memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to believe what somebody says without looking at the action. So take that into our personal lives. You know, it's whether it's a relative, an intimate partner, whatever, we want to believe what they say, not necessarily what they do.
Yeah.
And I think this is where we are not evolving with our perceptions, rather we're still living in a lot of deceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a long way to go in that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, to evolve our own, getting beyond our own emotional needs, so to speak, and say, I got to look at what actually is here, not what I want to see. Because it's a preference.
Oh, I know. And it's so insidious in that it's every human being deals with this. This is not isolated to anybody. We all have bias. We all have, you know, expectations and a narrative that we're kind of building in our minds. We have, you know, preconceived notions. We have to do the best we can to counteract that with objectivity and, and it's a little bit of self-awareness, well, a lot of self-awareness.
And which is exactly what IMHS and TFU are here to do. And it's to stimulate new kinds of ideas and thinking and become more wholesome and healthy in our views of ourselves as well as, you know, around others. And that's why I think time's like a mark of time, whether you graduated last August or your name got called last Saturday, that's a real mark of time for yourself to say, well, I am not who I was when I started that program. and maybe a lot of things I already think I knew, but it's all delivered in a different way, and it's stimulated me to think in a new way, and things start to integrate in your mind. And so again, that part of the evolution, and I think I know we're all on the same page here, Michael, but if more people could, take those moments to look at even the 9 principles of belief, which, I'm not going to harp on them, they're there. But even little adages like what Dr. Kelly teaches, preference versus principle, that's huge. it's not just about do no harm, it's also about do right. And what is right? What does do right mean to you? And just to analyze those kinds of moments in our life that we evolve and become healthier.
Yeah, and absolutely right, absolutely right. And it's the the two sides of that. Otherwise, it's just apathy. Doing no harm is great, but it's can lead to entropy as well. Just a static thing. And I have to say, those were some great points. And usually, when I hear great points made like that, I like to squeak a dog toy. It's just my way of it's like applause. But.
Entertaining.
But you're absolutely right, and it's the flip side of doing right that I guess it just brings me back around, and I keep thinking to personal growth, personal evolution leads to societal and cultural evolutions, and it kind of brings me back around to the idea of is it based on the individual history, the turns of history, the arcs of history, the changes, or is it based on the momentum of society behind them and all of the millions of people who have spiritual and evolution, spiritual, intellectual wisdom, I don't know how to even pluralize that, the growth in that way, of their awareness leading to positive outcomes in society. I used a negative example with Adolf Hitler earlier. I'll use a positive example with a man like Dr. Martin Luther King, who did tremendous things in the United States for civil rights. But is it him that was pivotal to history? Which I think it is important to have the right people in certain places for the tone of things, the shape of change, perhaps. I don't know how you might want to say it. But it was also the swell of the evolution of awareness on the parts of millions of people that changed this. And it wasn't just that they had an epiphany, it was that people were trying to educate, they were pushing it, they were trying to do right, they were trying to show a better world and create a better world, and millions of people were doing this, and it allowed this movement to happen.
I think the risk we have now in this day and age, if I can say this, is there's always the propagandists to tear down the good people who are attempting to do good work, and we didn't have those, so whether it was Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, Gandhi, there was other political factions, they were vying for all the powers and try to break them down, but I'm saying now it's quick. Everything is very quick.
It is. And, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all I'm saying is that even if we because there are some people who are doing wonderful work in the world, and whether it's for human rights, the list is long. It's they're quick to be silent, quick to be criticized, by other social platforms or people.
Well,
which it minimizes somebody's ability to do something very grand.
I'd have to say that being outraged has become an international pastime, even more than it used to be. And it's just, it's nothing new. It's just the way in which we do it is new. Outrage has been manufactured for countless millennia from, stories. And, can you believe what these people that live 10 miles that way and are almost the exact same, culturally as we are, can you believe what they did to us? They must be destroyed and all this stuff. So you get these outrage machines that go on and go on. So everything we're doing now has been done before. What we want you know, the old adage, all of this has happened before, all of this will happen again. In the grand scope of the infinite universe, that may be true. I hope in our sphere of existence, in this reality as human beings, in our, you know, sphere of time, within this, you know, hopefully a few thousand, few hundred thousand, few million years of what it is to be this type of human. See, yeah. My dog Mira agrees with me. It is, I hope it is, all of this has happened before, but maybe it won't happen again. Maybe we can get to a point in human, you know, emotional, social, ethical evolution to where genocide will have been a thing of millennia past. To where kind of barbarism will have been a thing of the past for a long time.
So basically we're growing up. We're a species that's growing up and getting beyond our own violence, I think, is, you know, and growing past our need to have acknowledgement and power and all those, you know, negative ego-based driving forces. And when we can get past that and become more Star Trek...
Yeah,
and Star Trek had its issues too. But,
yeah, well, everything does. I mean, every good thing has a tinge of darkness to it because it is life. Wonderful human beings who have done wonderful things have had flaws. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was tarred by some for having an affair. It does not detract from the wonderful things that are done. And that's just true. Like propagandists will try to tear down good people, propagandists will try to uplift bad people. There are apologists for Hitler today. Unfortunately, it seems like there are more of them. But it is just one of those things where just you have to try to be objective. You have to try to get your facts from, you know, cast a wide net. Get as much context as you can. Make an informed and reasoned opinion about things as best you can. We're all going to be flawed. I know for a fact there are things that I hold to be fervently true, that I believe that are true, that I'm going to be wrong about. It's just a statistical, you know, impossibility for me to be right about all the things that I hold to be true and dear. Mm-hmm. We just do the best we can, but just try to be on the side of right. Try to be on the side of ethics, and just try to do no harm and do right in the world. Vicky, Dr. Hunter, you put it perfectly earlier.
You know, you just reminded me, Michael, of the first... one of the first pieces of hate mail I ever got from a client's husband. Every time she comes home to see me, she's different. She's more independent. She doesn't listen to me. And I thought, you know, I don't tell her to hate you. I'm telling her to be her, you know. And in those moments of being empowered, but then she goes back to her life and, of course, you know, swimming around. But it's shocking that back in the day, and again, that's a long time ago, somebody would still make the effort to go and put a stamp on an envelope and put it in the mail.
Yeah.
Wow, I've really upset your life, my God. You know? But now it's just a click on a computer. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
You know, Michael, it's that time. Time goes by. See, time is a weird thing. Mm. We, you know, half hour's gone by so quickly. Ione already has her, you know, name in the chat for us to pull a card for her. Again, Michael pulls a self-discovery inner oracle card. Signed by Dr. Doug Kelly, and people, it was asked earlier where to get them, and we put the link in the chat. It's the ICMH store. You can find that link for those who are listening in the archives. And for $30, you too can have your own deck of Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards. Meanwhile, I will back it up from Michael with a tarot card.
Yeah, it's a nice 1-2 combo that, you know, sometimes was a really interesting, you know, story and path. Now, you know, of course, I have the luxury of pulling a card and reading from a little guide about what that card means. And I rely on probability and, you know, that kind of chance to see what comes out. Dr. Hunter, you have the hard job of the intuition.
Oh, I just listen. Whatever they tell me, Michael.
Ah, you're too modest. You're too modest. But we have.
Hey, by the way, I want to say thank you to Wendy. She said that doesn't sound like hate mail I got. She said it sounds like a compliment. Thank you,
wonderfully
Wendy.
Put.
All right. So Ione is first. What do you got there? Congratulations again to Ione for her graduation.
And Dr. Ione has Number 28, Do No Harm, Do Right. My God, is that perfect. Let's see here. All right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
In support of that, I pulled the Six of Clubs. I own the Six of Wands in tarot language. And the first thing that came to my mind is, who may have criticized you before will be coming to you for advice. So do no harm, do right. Actually, that's a big compliment. So that's what I'm picking up on in that one. So there's a little event coming up where you're going to say, uh-huh, mm-hmm, told you so. But you can only say that under your breath.
Oh, I say it out loud all the time. Every chance I get. Every chance I get.
There we go. Raven is next. Dr. Raven.
All right. Let's see. I have number 33, preference over principle.
See? My fave.
It's a good one. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. Good card.
Wheel of Fortune in support of that preference principle, Raven. When to take chances? When to take risks? I think sometimes in any kind of business or managerial positions, we struggle with our conscience. Is this the right thing to do? You know, could it hurt somebody? You know, quite often it's not easy firing people, but you got the whole place to look after. So preference principle with the Wheel of Fortune is just asking you to balance that out before you make a move. Like, think about what you need to consider before you speak to an issue or have that meeting. So that blurted out, Michael. So we'll see how that works. Just a little thing to think about, Raven. Hope that makes sense.
I like it. All right.
Ronnie is next.
Well, Ronnie, I have number 30, greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself of the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Well, Page of Diamonds. It may be what I'm feeling here is a work change, career change kind of thing, Ronnie. Is there something else you'd like to do? Something else that's a better fit for you and fit for you, but you're a better fit for them and how you're going to fit in. So I think you're in a discussion of a position change, at the very least, if not a job change. And of course, pick your timing correctly as you need to, but it's in the works. That's my feel.
All right.
Edward, Dr. Edward is next.
All right, Dr. Edward. Let's see, we've been pulling cards for a few years now. Let's see if I can get a new one for you. This is not a new one, but it is a classic wild card, number 7, Hope. Let's see. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
I like it, and I like that it's the Eight of Hearts in support of that, Edward. And you know what? The first flash I had is Monday is a full moon eclipse, by the way, in North America, folks. So pay attention. This Friday is the only Friday the 13th of the year, I believe, if I have my information correct. And Edward, that's what I'm saying. It's having hope, and you might feel like you're walking in the dark a little bit right now, but you have lots of energetic support going on and some reflection, introspection, and I want to say ride it out. It's like that's what I thought about Monday and this full moon coming. Just ride it out a few more days before you make any big decisions or apply yourself in a way that, you know, might kind of make you tired or burn you out and throw away some good energy. So that's what I want to say to you.
All right. We have Jamil next. And I have number 17, reinvention.
Good one.
All right. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, Empress doesn't get any bigger than that to support reinvention, Jamil. So it's that seed planting, the notion of new ideas and, well, take fertility metaphorically or symbolically as opposed to literally. But it's this is a big growing time. And I like that all these new ideas that you're getting, some of the seeds are actually sticking, and water them and grow. So that's, you know, this is a good time for you. Keep going with all your positive energy. Don't let anybody get in your way, by the way.
I love it.
Eileen is next, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right, Eileen. I have number one, first card, perfection. Let's see. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully. Love that card.
Two of Hearts in support of that, Eileen. You know, this could be about promises, could be about obligations, partnering. It doesn't have to be in relation to an intimate partner, but it could very well be, oh, it could be a sibling. It could be somebody that you're close to. And in this, that perfection is that even through the bumpy times, it's still solid and it's still there. And so what I want to say is not to allow insecurities to bubble up too much. Like, just be you, do you, and own your stuff when you need to. And I'm sure you do. Don't get me wrong. But it goes both ways. So for the other one to also, and this is a growing time, so... You know, sometimes those moments of challenge is perfect also. That's evolution.
I love it.
I hope that makes sense, Eileen.
All right. Dr. Mike, I have number 7, self-mastery. A lot of cards just coinciding wonderfully with growth and our own personal evolution because they tie into this program, the school, and metaphysical humanism. Mm-hmm. All right. Self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery, towards the path of self-completeness.
I had a flash here, Mike, of Gary V. And if you don't know who he is, check him out on Instagram, Gary Vee. the great motivational speaker, entrepreneur kind of guy, because self-mastery and the King of Diamonds is, you know, that's you kind of wanting to be a little bit entrepreneurial, creative, and go-getter. And then I had that flash of Gary Vee. I think that you would be, you would connect with that guy. So actually his name is Gary Vaynard or something, Varinard, but Gary Vee is what he goes by. So I want you to check him out. It's that fuel, you know, that fuel for your fire. So that's kind of what's coming here, and so you need to sustain that. So that's a point too. You can get going, but it's how you take the ride. Good.
All right. So we have our card keeper, Wendy, next. And Wendy pointed out in chat that we have pulled wild card number 7, I believe it was, Hope, 7 times this year.
Wow.
Which, you know, hey, it's given me hope. So, all right, Wendy. Did I think I already pulled this one? Number 30, Greatness to Deliver.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and pair that. Because we have read it, but Wendy, yeah. I know you have greatness to deliver. But, what are the odds of it coming up again as I randomly shuffle here? But we'll spare that. Greatness to control. All right, greatness to deliver with number 5, Law of Control.
All right.
Let's see. Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Controlling only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. All right, so you kind of get a double pull there.
And I got the Hierophant in support of that. Now, in simple terms, I always see the Hierophant as order. Of course, a lot of people write the word conformity. I see it as comfort in the home or comfort in your life, scheduling, kind of being a good overseer of life in general, specifically around the home. So if there's things that you feel are a little out of order, Wendy, or you want to, you know, clean closets or, you know, it's just do it in your own time. Like there's no rush. It's what we're saying. Sometimes we all panic. We get this thing in our heads about, I have to get this done in a certain amount of time, but it's not going anywhere. Neither are you. You'll get to it.
You know, and that's absolutely right. I'm going to get to that closet when the time is right. And that time is third quarter 2023. So.
That's funny.
All right.
So I just want to say, take your time. Ease up a bit, Wendy. Nothing that can't wait till tomorrow.
All right. Good advice. All right, we have Ronaldo next, and I have number 41, Communication. And now I'm going to fight past my dog to get to the book here. They're just characters on the broadcast these days. Communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
You know, Ronaldo, in support of that, the Eight of Spades came up, and I thought, well, that's very interesting. So I pulled another one for you, and it's the Five of Hearts. So here's the story I get from this. Sometimes we're stuck and we don't know what to say to somebody, so it's better not to say anything until we're clear. If we speak and communicate when we're confused or emotionally driven, nothing's going to come out right. So what I'm inclined to want to encourage you to do is, ask yourself, what do I hope to achieve by this? What do I hope to achieve by saying that? And if we check in with ourselves and take that, you know, push the pause button, it always comes out way better. So there's a lesson or some instance here where you're learning about yourself in a way of communicating. So it's just a little bit of advice there, and that's what's coming through in these cards.
Good advice and well said. I like it.
So now we have a friend of Ione's, Anna, who's in the wings, listening to the program tonight. Welcome, Anna. Nice to have you here. What have you got for Anna, Michael?
All right, I have a wild card. Always nice to get a wild card for your first draw. Wild card number two, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe that you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. Good card.
Well, I got two did pop out. So the seven of clubs, seven of wands, and the ace of hearts. And then some. You know, I always say to people, you don't leave a situation until you feel in good conscience you've tried everything. And so that somehow works in here. But also, it means not to try everything if the timing isn't right. So if there's a situation where the timing needs to be better, it's learning then how and when to step into a conversation or step forward, knowing when to assist somebody, give advice to somebody. You know, that sometimes it's just better to say nothing. And that Ace of Hearts is the affirmation that, you know, I'm getting here for that. So I think sometimes fewer words are better, Anna. And that gives you your and then some, because the and then some here is the effort or the thinking that we put into something. What are we striving for? And remember, you can't change people, right? But we can certainly be good influencers, and if people don't want to, then, well, that's that. So,
yeah.
But always stretching ourselves a little more. Always. That's what we're doing. That's evolution.
Exactly. Exactly. Great way to tie it around. And it fits perfectly.
All right. Well, you know, again, the program goes by so quickly.
It does. It does.
And thank you to everybody for being here. And again, this marks 11 years now that I've been with Dr. Kelly and Michael and Dr. Tracy. You know, we're it's been wonderful to meet so many people. See, this is a celebration for me too, you know, an anniversary. So
yeah.
It's a mark of time.
Well,
and it's a great ride.
I tell you, well, happy anniversary. Thank you. It has gone by fast, and you know what they say, time flies when you're having fun. But honestly, Dr. Reiki, I can't believe it's been 11 years.
I know.
It has been over a decade that I've known you.
Well, it's, you know, again, these marks of time and these people in our lives who are so important to us, Michael, and how we grow our relationships, because certainly we've grown, and there is no age division, there's no, you know, we're just good together. You and I can talk about anything and go on forever.
That's true. You know? That's true. And sometimes I'll try.
So there's no barriers, and I love that. And Dr. Edwards saying it's 8 years for him. You know,
yeah.
It's like, wow, that's
shout out to Dr. Edwards. That's a long time with it, and you're it has been, and it's been a pleasure having you. You know, it's been wild to catch up with chat today. It's been a great conversation. Oh, I saw earlier Dr. Kevin had mentioned in chat that he used to do some Peace Corps activity back in Afghanistan back in the day. Back in the day, but just so an interesting little tidbit there from chat. So to those listening archives, if you have the time, I really encourage you to join because it can be a really fun experience. But
yeah,
if not, we understand.
Great group, and thanks for new folks for coming in, and you know, you got friends listening in the background. That's always wonderful too. So it's great. We look forward to being with you next Wednesday. By the way, check out that full moon eclipse on Monday.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. So, oh, and shout out to Wendy. Got 7 years on the clock, and I tell you, Wendy, it only feels like it's been a couple. It feels like it's been weird weeks.
I know.
Well, no, actually, it's both gone by quickly, but yet it does seem like we've been all together for a long time now, and it's wonderful. And tonight we've had a great talk. We talked about personal growth and evolution. A wonderful idea, Dr. Vicki. A great topic you had. We're going to put our heads together and think of something good for next week. And we hope that you can join us. And, you know, any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
You know, everybody, the world can feel like a really crazy place. Just check in with yourself. You know, get back in your body, look at your reality, your world, and make the contributions you know to make, and be sure to feel that sense of purpose that you have for what you go through a day for. That's how we check in.
Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. Well, I can hear my dog Mira hoofing in the background, so it means it's that time of the evening. We're looking forward to having you join us all next week. Please stay safe. Until we see you next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.